Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Thrive Church, a church passionate about moving people towards Jesus.
You ready for the word today? Can I invite you, would you stand with me? Let's get some blood flowing in our bodies. And remember today, the better you respond, the shorter I will preach. Can we make a deal? Hey, that was too quick, Apiwe. She sounded way too happy that the pastor was going to preach for short. Ready for the word?
Yes.
Come, let's pray. Hey, would you lift your hands to heaven and lift your hearts to heaven? Father, in this moment, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for your word. Thank you that it is the inspired word of God. It comes to us in scripture that shapes us and forms us, molds us, makes us and moves us more towards Jesus. So Jesus, today we pray that as your life is looked at, as we talk about your life, we pray that you would hover over us. Let your spirit work deeply within us. And may your word shape our thinking today. More than that, may it shape the architecture of our hearts. We are here wanting you to shape our lives. We're not here simply because we're here out of religion or tradition. We're not here because we're just serving, doing a duty. We're not here because we're making pizza or ushering people, serving on the worship team. We are here to meet with you. And we ask for your word to do its work in our lives. We thank you as we hear your word today, we know that it is living and it is active. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. It can penetrate into the deepest parts of our lives. Divide our joints and marrow, soul and spirit. In Jesus' name. Everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, everyone. Hey, please have a seat. Those of you who have been around a little while, you may know this movie. It's called Around the World in 80 Days. Anybody remember the book or the movie Around the World in 80 Days? It was actually made, this movie, in 1956. Can you believe it? Around the World in 80 Days. It's an epic movie. It won 5 Oscars, apparently, and a Golden Globe. It won an award for Best Film and for Best Director. It was such an epic film that there were 140 different sets for the movie. Now, nowadays, with visual technologies, you just create a green screen and you can change the effects technologically and digitally. But in those days, they actually had to construct a physical set. And this movie took 140 different sets. It was filmed in 6 different studios in 13 countries with 74,685 different costumes, would you believe it? And used 8,550 animals in the movie. But the thing that's most crazy, perhaps, about Around the World in 80 Days is that it made use of 68,894 extras. You know what an extra is in a movie? It's the dude who randomly just kind of stands around milling and being part of the crowd. You don't say a line or anything, you're just kind of a filler. Does that make sense? That's what the extras were. 68,894 extras. And the movie actually became known because of all the extras, because of how epic it was. Nobody really remembers the lead actor in it or anything. All they remember is this grand scale of the movie, right? Gandhi, the movie Gandhi, made about Mahatma Gandhi. Sir Richard Attenborough directed this movie. It's gone down in history as the movie with the most extras in it. Would you believe it? 98,000 extras were used, and these dudes were paid like a little fee, but 300,000 people were additional extras that were pure volunteers. They were the unpaid. So in total, Gandhi, the movie, 398,000 extras, and again, they are what made the film extraordinary. My point is simply this, the power of the extra. The power of the extra. You know, Jesus talks about the extra, actually. We're going to hear what he has to say about it. Come with me to Matthew chapter 5 today. Matthew chapter 5. We're going to look at Jesus' words today. Verse 38 onwards, it says this. You've heard the law that says the punishment must match the injury. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say, do not resist an evil person. If someone slaps you on the right cheek, if someone Will Smiths you... And we are going to go there later. So hang in there. So if someone Will Smiths you on the right cheek, offer the other cheek. Give them a Chris Rock. If you are sued in court and your shirt's taken from you, give your coat too. Here's the thing. Here's where Jesus talks. If a soldier demands that you carry his gear for a mile, carry it for 2 miles. In other words, carry it an extra mile. Jesus talks about the power of the extra. We're in a series at the moment. It's called A Better Way to Live. You can catch all of the messages if you've missed them on our YouTube channel. Kulu kicked us off talking about the power of a better way to live when Scripture is front and center in our lives. Yeah. Then Lucanio Sofisa joined us from Cape Town, and he spoke about how living a better way is serving God through serving people. I spoke about living a better way is with hands open. Remember, hands open? Like that. And then last week we spoke about a better way to live, living less distracted. They're on our YouTube channel. So just search for Thrive Church SA. You can catch them all there. But let's go back to Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 5, just the last verse 41. If a soldier demands that you carry his gear for a mile, carry it 2 miles. Carry it an extra. Now, let me give you some quick context about this. In first century Jewish life, the Romans ruled. One of the things that the Romans ruled in was infrastructure. They built massive amounts of roads through Palestine. As such, they viewed themselves as the owners and the custodians of these roads. They were charged toll fees. Believe it or not, e-tag and e-toll is not a new concept. Governments have been robbing people for years.
For centuries.
So they had to have a little e-tag. They walked past and they had to give dropped a few coins into a Roman kind of kitty that was there. But the Roman soldiers had something called a furca, F-U-R-C-A. It was a giant pole, and it would hold all their belongings, their shovel, their mattress, their extra clothes and their kit, their food, their bowls to wash with, their cooking pans, and they would hold it like kind of over their shoulders. And because the Romans ruled and because the roads belonged to them, they viewed anybody on one of their roads as being subject to whatever they would want. And so if a Roman soldier was feeling tired, what he would do is he would just grab hold of any passing by guy. I mean, you could just be on your way anywhere, and he would just grab a hold of you and say, "Hey, carry my furca." And he would. And the rule was, if he asked you to do that, you had to do that, and you had to carry it a Roman mile, which was 1,000 steps. And so Jesus says here, if that happens to you, don't carry it 1 mile, carry it 2 miles. That would be like me standing up here and saying, guys, for your e-tolls, don't pay the e-toll, pay double. Yeah. Let's get serious. This is what Jesus, it was highly offensive to the people. They were like, "Are you mull in the cup?" It would be like government saying, "Wear masks," and Jesus goes, "No, wear 3 masks. It would be like government saying, "You don't need a mask outdoors anymore. And Jesus goes, "You know what? Just wear 2, just for fun." Are you getting the picture? It would be a little bit like a Nazi soldier, Jesus carrying his stuff. That would be like a Jewish person seeing Jesus carrying the Nazi guy's stuff for him. Deeply offensive. And so it's into this climate of the hatred for the Romans that Jesus speaks and he teaches. And he says, guys, you don't pay back. You don't take revenge. You turn the other cheek. You forgive. You walk an extra mile if he asks you to. There's a reason why Jesus teaches this. This is exceedingly important to understand if you're to understand our world today and if you're not to get freaked out. Many Christians believe we must take dominion, we must take control, we must be the head and not the tail. That's true, but I want you to notice that the way Jesus says you transform a culture is not by ruling it, but by serving it. Are you with me? So this is what ticked Judas Iscariot off, for example, was the fact that he was waiting for Jesus to say, to heck with the Romans, we're not going to do what you tell us to do. And instead Jesus goes, forgive your enemy, turn the other cheek. And by the way, when the Roman asks you to take his stuff 1 mile, you take it 2. By the way, when the e-tag bill comes, just do an EFT for double the amount. I know it's freaking you out. Some of you are listening, you go, yeah, I don't pay my e-tolls, and I'm not going to, and I'm not going to pay double. This is why Jesus, but let me illustrate it this way. The Dutch people love their roses. Any rose lovers in the house? The Dutch people love their roses. Apparently there's a technique in Holland that when they see an inferior rose, they don't chop it down. They put a superior rose close to it, and they wait for the superior rose to pollinate the inferior rose. And the inferior rose, here's the thing, catches what's on the superior rose, and it begins to strengthen, and it begins to bloom. What Jesus is saying is you don't cut down a sick culture, you stand next to it, and you pollinate it with kingdom principles. Are you with me? And so the way to fix the Roman problem is not to tell them, hey, I'm not carrying your stuff. It's to say, you want that? 2 miles. So that every person who looks at you goes, but who is this bunch of weird people who follow Jesus that when they're asked to carry a thing a mile, they go an extra mile? Yeah. The power is of transforming the culture is in the extra. Are you with me? You don't change government by overthrowing a government. You change a government from the bottom up. A Christ follower begins to work in a department, and instead of allowing the corruption, he begins to rectify things. He begins to share Jesus. He begins to give Easter flyers to his department.
Yeah.
Are you with me? In case you are in any doubt, our culture is very, very sick. Our world is very, very sick. So let's go to the Oscars. Let's have a look at the clap. Okay. Have a quick look, and then I'll talk into it. So here's Chris Rock getting rocked. Okay, there we go.
Oh, Richard!
Oh, wow! Wow!
Okay, I had to cut it, because you all know there's some fluk words after that. You all watched it this week, right? Okay, so that happens. So Will Smith gets up because his wife was tense about this, and he decks the guy. 5 minutes later, this is why I'm saying our culture's got problems. 5 minutes later, Will Smith wins the Academy. I want you to notice everybody giving him a standing ovation. And roll the film. Thanks.
And the Oscar goes to...
Will Smith!
Gingrich.
Yeah.
I rest my case. And this is the group of people that we want to shape our children's thinking. These are the guys who supposedly have it all together when it comes to the LGBTQ agenda. These are the guys who understand transgender. These are the guys who understand the homosexuality issues. It's these guys. I mean, would you trust your cat with these people? I hate cats, and I wouldn't even trust my cat with them. Are you with me? The culture is sick. He's just decked a guy, and 5 minutes later, they're giving him a standing ovation. And what he said to guys is, he's just said to about 500 million young people in the world, the way you solve your problem if you're offended is to give an ochre clap. This is what he's just said. But then the Academy endorses it by giving him a standing ovation. Are you with me? Can you see this? There's something, a biki dir makar. Something not quite right. So Nando's got onto it. Have you seen their latest ad? It'll be on the screen. You've got to love Nando's. But you see what I'm saying about how our culture is sick? So we're talking more about Will Smith and Chris Rock and Will's temper tantrum than we are about 2.5 million Ukrainian children who have left their country with a backpack on their back. Hollywood is more concerned with Will Smith's mental issues than they are with the fact that 2.5 million children have left their country with a backpack on their back. Do you see what I'm saying, that there's a problem? And the way to change the culture is not to overthrow it. The way to change the culture is to be the superior rose next to the inferior rose. It is to stand next to it and to pollinate the poor one with what we've got. And that's why Jesus was saying, take an extra mile, because it's the way you show the world that you live differently. There's no point moaning about the mile, rather go two, because you show them what you're made of. I think there's something in Jesus' teaching here that we need to be aware of. And it's something that when we're uncomfortable with what he has said, like if you're uncomfortable with Jesus, if he was on the platform, he'd say, pay double your ETOL fees. Some of you are like, I don't know if I want to follow somebody like that. If you're uncomfortable with what he would say, that I want you to consider a thought for a moment, and that is that Jesus' teaching is never an obligation, but it's rather an opportunity. It's not an instruction, it's an invitation. Jesus doesn't give instructions, Jesus gives invitations to a different way to live. What is it? It's an invitation for you and me today, the 8 o'clock service on the rainiest Sunday of the world, of Gauteng's history probably. It's an invitation for you and I to live in the extra. To let our lives become exceptional. And when you and I live in the extra, our lives become exceptional. Our lives don't become famous. Listen, Will Smith is famous, but he's not extraordinary. He may be an extraordinary actor, but he's not an extraordinary man. You don't have to be famous. You don't have to have 1 million likes on TikTok or Instagram to be exceptional. It's what you do that makes you exceptional. Now, there's a woman, and Scripture is so beautiful and so amazing, because there's this beautiful account in the Old Testament, in the book of 2 Kings, of a woman who lived in the extra. And if you're looking to ask yourself the question, what does it look like for a man or a woman to live in the extra? If Jesus is going the extra mile, is it just, you know, I must do extra, I must pay? No, there's a woman in Scripture who lived with something in her heart, something on her spirit, something about the way she viewed the world through the extra. And God used her for extraordinary things. And guess what? The extraordinary came into her life. 2 Kings chapter 4, 8 to 37. One day Elisha, he was an Old Testament prophet, he went to the town of Shunem, and a wealthy woman lived there, and she urged him to come to her home for a meal. After that, whenever he passed that way, he would stop there for something to eat. She said to her husband, I'm sure this man who stops in from time to time is a holy man of God. Let's build a small room for him on the roof and furnish it with a bed, a table, a chair, and a lamp. And let's give him some salt and vinegar chips as a snack. Then he'll have a place to stay whenever he comes by. What a kind lady. One day, Elisha returned to Shunem, and he went up to this upper room to rest. So he knows his posse now, and here he is. And he said to his servant Gehazi, tell the woman from Shunem, I want to speak to her. When she appeared, Elisha said to Gehazi, tell her, we appreciate the kind concern you have shown us. What can we do for you? Can we put in a good word for you to the king or to the commander of the army? Elisha's going, look, I've got friends in high places. Do you want me to, you know, do you want me to put a little something on your tender, you know? No, she replied, my family takes good care of me. Later, Elisha asked Gehazi, what can we do for her? He's still on it. Elisha wants to bless her. He's determined to bless her. Gehazi replied, well, she doesn't have a son, and her husband is an old man. Call her back again, Elisha told him. And when the woman returned, Elisha said to her as she stood in the doorway, Next year, at this time, you will be holding a son in your arms. No, my Lord, she cried. It's like, don't get my hopes up. Man of God, don't deceive me. Don't get my hopes up like that. But sure enough, the woman soon became pregnant. And at that time, the following year, she had a son, just as Elisha had said. I want to offer you a few thoughts today on characteristics of people who live in the extra. What do people who would go the extra mile for an oppressive Roman soldier, what do they look like? What do we see from this woman's life? If you decided to become a person who lives in the extra, what would your life look like? You ready to go? Remember, if you take notes, you will go to heaven. When you get to heaven, Jesus will ask you for your notes. And if you have only an Android phone, obviously you won't have decent notes. And so I recommend you switch over to an iPhone as quickly as you can. And quickly, though, the reason why we say take notes, in all seriousness, the reason why we say take notes is because you won't remember this once you've left. And if you doubt me about whether notes are a good thing to take, just try going through school, through university without notes. Isn't it amazing that we want to take notes for university or for school because we want to pass that, but when it comes to the Word of God, we don't want to take notes? Isn't it amazing that when God communicates to us, we think that's less important than getting through university? I'm pressing some buttons on this rainy Sunday morning. Are you with me? You all okay? How many of you would agree that God's Word is of infinitely more importance than your university notes? You can get through, you can fail chemistry, but you can't fail at this life. And Scripture teaches us how to live this life. So here are a few characteristics of people who live in the extra. Number one, people who live in the extra, they offer before being asked. If you've ever had a child, you know how valuable this is. I just wish my child would offer to take their plate to the dishwasher before being asked. Do you notice how the Shunammite woman, she offered this room, she makes this whole like a little posse for this guy, for Elisha, before being asked. How's your spirit? Are you an asking person or are you an offering person? What's in your spirit today? Have you got a spirit that stands back and waits? I'm going to wait until they ask me to volunteer at church. I'm going to wait until they ask me to become a life group leader. And maybe if the pastor preaches a good enough message, then I'll give. I'm going to sit back and see if God delivers the guy that I want. Listen, the only guy that's going to arrive at your door is the FedEx guy. I keep saying it. You got something in your spirit that initiates. Do you see how God blessed this one? He gave her a son. Here's the thing, church, grab a hold of this. God blesses the initiator. He blesses the initiator. Are you with me at 8 o'clock?
Yes.
Remember, the better you respond, shorter I will preach. Actually, the better I'll preach.
Come on.
Number two, people who live in the extra do so based upon revelation. She goes, who gives this to her? This must be a man of God. This has got to be someone. She had a revelation. What do you need for a revelation of? Are you living on yesterday's manna when it comes to your revelation of God? Maybe you got something real and tangible from the Lord 10 years ago, but the truth be told is you've not got anything fresh from Him in the way of your revelation since then. Maybe you're living on all your old stories, or maybe your life is camped in the past and not in the present and in the future. Can I encourage you to ask God for fresh revelation? Jeremiah 33, verse 3, call to me and I'll answer you. I'll show you great and unsearchable things which you don't know. People who live in revelation, they lay things down. You know, if you stub your toe, how many of you know, who here has stubbed their toe before? Your whole body feels the pain, doesn't it? Your whole body, even now, you're like, no. You might think that, if you're not present, if you're not in your life group on a Wednesday or whenever your life group meets, if you're not in church on a Sunday, it doesn't matter. But I want to tell you, that's like stubbing your toe. When you're missing, the whole body feels it. When one part of our body's hurting, lonely, disconnected, the whole body hurts. Your presence matters. Can the church do well without you? Yeah, it can. But it'll do so much better with you. Are you with me?
Yes.
Number three, people who live in the extra, they find a need and they meet it. I love people who go when, you know, and I test this when I go to shops. I go, is there a bathroom in the center? And sometimes the response will be, yeah, down there. Every now and then there's a person who goes, absolutely, let me show you where it is. And then they walk with you. Somebody's in our church, is a new person, and they come and they go, hey, do you know where the parents' room is? You don't go, yeah, it's over there. Check, that room with the lights on. The thing with the giraffe there, that. Go, hey, so nice to have you. Can I show you to our parents' room? You're going to have an awesome service. You with me? Yeah, where are the bathrooms? Well, we've got a couple around the campus. Can I show you a couple? Probably the closest one would be this one. Can I take you then? Can I show you? You see how it's just a hospitality atmosphere that goes with somebody's life. People who live in the extra, they find a need and they meet it. People who live in the extra, they value commitment over convenience. I'll never forget listening to a guy called Leon Fontaine. He runs a church in Canada in a city called Winnipeg. Now, if any of you know Winnipeg, you'll know it's freezing cold. There might be somebody online joining us from Winnipeg. It's supposed to be spring there right now, but it's minus a gazillion. And what ends up happening is the car park team at their church, those of you in the car park, just give me a quick shout or wave or something. Hello? Car park team, thank you. You guys are, I'm doing a promo for you right now. The car park team there, because it's so cold, they have to rotate on 15-minute shifts. So that you can only be outdoors for 15 minutes, otherwise your body's going to get hypothermia. And so when they serve on car park team, they are literally putting their lives at risk. It's not a little bit of Joburg rain. It's epic, epic frostbite. It's like a scene from Frozen. That's what it's like. But how many of you guys would agree that the people that sign up for that, they value commitment over convenience? You know, one of the sickest things of our culture is we value convenience too much. Are you all still tracking? You being helped this morning? All alive? People who live in the extra are motivated by generous honor. We have a saying in our church, we honor up, we honor down, we honor all around. You know the saying, have you ever heard the saying, respect is earned?
Yes.
Do you agree with it?
Yes.
Do you?
No.
Sure. No. Differing views. Now some of you are like, is that the wrong answer? Did I get it wrong? Respect is given because anybody who's a human being and who has breath in their lungs is worthy of respect. Because God put breath in their lungs, so they're worthy of respect. Trust is earned, but respect is given. Are you with me? By virtue of the fact that you're a human being, I mean you may be from Brakpan, and you may support Man United, Pastor Steve, and you may have an Android phone. You're still worthy of respect. Just having some fun with you. Trust is earned, but respect is given. People who live in the extra don't have a hidden agenda. Colossians 3:23, I love it, because the Shunammite woman, this was her life, this was her vibe. Work willingly at whatever you do, as we're working for the Lord, not for man. She was blessing Elisha, but really what she was doing is honoring God, hey. Don't have a hidden agenda. You know, many people go, yeah, if I get close to leadership structures at work, you know, if I suck up to my boss, if I kiss my boss's bum enough, then I'll get the next promotion. Get close to the pastor because maybe that'll get you like an inside lane or, you know. I love what she does here. She just prepares the room. There's something in her heart that's like, I just want to bless. I just want to help. I want to do it to bring God glory. I just want to be a person that contributes to the work of God. Number seven, people who live in the extra, they have an expansive heart. There's room for more. I loved it how she made physical room, hey? But it was actually, what was going on was her heart was actually expanding. Her heart had room and therefore her house had room. I love Proverbs 3:27. Do not withhold good from those who deserve it, even when it's in your power to help them. That's what an expansive heart does. If you've got something within your power to help, if you can help a poor person that day, we'll do it. Don't think about the fact that there might be other occasions when you can't. But if it's within your power to buy a Nutri-Go pack today, we'll then do that. Yes. You know, are you with me? Yeah. Don't withhold good. Just because you can't do it all the time doesn't mean you shouldn't do it some of the time. Are you with me? Do you know that when we're in community and when we're serving each other, whether in life group or on Sundays, when you are here right now, you're actually serving each other. You are not withholding good from those around you because your presence is good and your presence makes a difference and your presence lifts the spirits of the person next to you. You might think, oh, I just pulled into church today. No, no. What you did is you came to be part of the body. And if you can find a husband or a wife in the process, well, then so be it. And we'd love to help you. And the welcome center of the deck today will be serving pizza as well. And so just make it a date day. Just make it a date day. Number 8, people who live in the extra attract the blessing and provision of God. When we bring the extra, He brings blessing and provision. Stretch yourself for extra, church. She stretched herself. She made a plan. She decided, hey, listen, I'm gonna do something extra here. And as she did so, God blessed her. How many of you would agree a son was not on the radar for her? A child was not on the radar for her. Her husband was the age of Donald Trump or Hugh Hefner. I mean, he was old, and it wasn't going to happen. But God can do anything. How many of you believe today that God can do anything? He can do anything with your extra. He can take your little extra and make it extraordinary. Stretch yourself for extra. Come on, some of you who are not serving, stretch yourself to become a servant in this place. Those of you who are not giving, stretch yourself to give financially. Those of you who have given at the same level for years, stretch yourself to give an extra couple of percent of your income. Stretch yourself. Stretch yourself to make a new friendship. Stretch yourself at work. Come in a little bit early, leave a little bit later. Apply yourself at a new level. Stretch yourself. Stretch and see what God can do with your extra. I think one of the biggest mindsets that can set into South Africans is just to go, you know what, I'm just gonna get by. And particularly in the East Rand, have you noticed the East Rand mentality? That mentality is not as prevalent in Sandton. Shout out to Sandton if you're watching us online. But East Rand people can, you know what, we can, I'm just speaking honestly here. You know it and you experience it because you go into a shop and you check the way they serve you. Go into a restaurant and see the way they serve you. Let's not be people who settle. Let's not be people who muddle in the mediocre and the mundane. Let's be people who stretch ourselves, stretch our hospitality, stretch our generosity, stretch our decision to help people when it's within our power, stretch ourselves intellectually, read something new, grab a hold of something to learn something new, start to study something new, begin to take an online course, have a look around to see who could mentor you in your life. Stretch yourself. Read yourself a book of the Bible that you've never read before. Decide to pray consistently for half an hour a day. Stretch yourself. Now, I was amazed. Yesterday, I was at a party for one of our kids, and one of the little boys there, he had just won the competition. They had a thing at school called Pi Day. Pi Day is, you know, the mathematical, what do you call it? Character, pi. You know, it's 3.14, bloody, bloody, blah. And there's a gazillion decimal places. They put out a competition to the kids to see who could remember the most decimal places, because pi's decimals go on forever and ever. It's 3.14 and then literally about 500 decimals or something. A little boy in grade 4 memorized, wait for it, 123 decimal places. So he's sitting looking, they filmed it, and they sent me the clip. He's sitting looking at the camera, and the football's on in the background. You can see Liverpool playing somebody in the background because Liverpool's his favorite time. And he goes, Mom, is the camera on? She goes, yes, love, go for it. And he goes, 3.14, and he goes on for 120. Listen, I can't even remember somebody's cell phone number. And I know the first three are 082. Are you with me? And I realized, human beings, we're capable of more than we think we are. If I can get something into your spirit today, it's that there's an extra in you that God wants to bring like an ignition to. What are you trusting for in your life? Have you got your parents' paradigm as your paradigm? Do you think your ceiling's going to be where your dad got to? Are you living like in this box, in this mentality of limitation? Because this woman, she should never have had a child, but she lived in the extra. Here's the thing, it starts with a spirit of extra. And God can do something extraordinary with our extra. But it starts with a decision for you and I to become people who say, I actually want to live with a different mindset. Sia Kolisi's story is inspiring to me. He's an amazing man. Hey, you know, he grew up in poverty in Zwidi, and just outside PE. And he tells a story in his book of how he went to bed so many nights with absolutely physical hunger pangs that were excruciating. You know, my heart broke when I thought about that there are kids in our world and in our country that go to bed in agony at night because of hunger. It shouldn't be that way. So this is how he grows up. He grew up watching his mother getting beaten by one of her new boyfriends every few months. He tells the story of how he walked along the road one day, saw his mother getting beaten up, and he went to the floor and he picked up the 3 teeth that had been knocked out of her mouth. And he held them for her, and then he walked to her home and said, "Hey, Mom, do you think there's a place we could get these sewn back in for you?" Talk about limitations. Talk about a life that puts a ceiling on you. But you know how he started his rugby career? As a water boy. He writes it in his book called Rise. This is what he says. If there was a job that needed doing around the club, I would do it. I became the water boy, eventually for the first 15. This is in the clubs, eh? He says, I would crouch by the side of the pitch as these huge men, or at least they seemed huge to me back then, as they sprinted and tackled and rucked and mauled just a few feet away. And at halftime, I'd hand out the bottles, and then I'd listen with one ear to how they spoke urgently about what they needed to do in the second half. I watched how they panted for breath. I watched how they wiped the sweat off their brows with the back of their hands. He started as the water boy. Became Springbok rugby captain. His extra is what turned him into something exceptional. Do you know that the founders of Google pitched the company to 350 investors before they got a yes? Aren't you glad somebody called the extra one, number 351, said yes? Because I get heart palpitations at the thought of life without Google. Can you just imagine your life for a moment without Google? Hey, it's not a life worth living, man. But hear what I'm saying to you. There was the extra one that they pitched to. Are you with me? And number 351. You know, my niece, she's studying medical science at Tux. She was telling me the other day, the lecture halls for the first year, 400 people. Guess how many students are in her honors year? 4. Because it gets harder on the extra. Are you with me? It's less crowded on the second mile. The extra mile, there's not the, that's the great, listen, do you want to eliminate the competition? Just go the extra. Just go the extra. There weren't too many Christ followers who would carry the Roman dude's thing 2 miles. But when you saw them, you knew who they were. There are not too many people in our world who live in the extra. But when you see them, you know they do. Here's the good news today. There is a better way to live. There is a better way to live. There is a way to move out of the mundane, the mediocre, the average, the just expected. There is a better way to live that involves not just doing what's expected, not just what's being asked. There is a better way to live. It's to live offering before being asked. It's to live based upon a revelation. It's to find a need and then meet that need. It's to be motivated by generous honor. It's to value commitment over convenience. It's to not have any kind of hidden agenda, just to do what you're doing for God and nobody else, you know? It's to have an expansive heart. It's to live with room for more in your heart. And it's a way to live that attracts the blessing and the provision of God. And I really so believe that the 8 o'clock service, the fact that you are in this place today, God is depositing right now, if your heart's open to it, I really believe He's depositing something into your spirit which is going to define you, it's going to distinguish you, it's going to differentiate you into the future. And I believe actually prophetically that there are going to be people that are going to say, I'm going to trace this all the way back to the 3rd of April. It was a Sunday morning. Yes, it was wet outside. I got to an 8 o'clock service. There was something about the extra. I can't quite remember the message other than the pastor hated cats. And they showed the video. They showed the video of Will Smith and Chris Rock. But there was a message about the extra and how God turns the extra into exceptional. And I'm praying that each one of you would have something extra into your spirit in this moment. Let's take a moment to pray. And as we do so, here's what I want to communicate to you in this moment. And that is simply this, that Jesus went extra for you and me. He went extra for you and me. The fact that Christ would just willingly decide to go to a cross. And He would do that for you. He would do that to pay for my sin and yours. He would do that so that you and I could have a friendship with Him. He would do that. I want to give you three reasons. So that you could know your past is forgiven. So that you could know there is a purpose and a reason for living. And so that you could know there is a home in heaven waiting for you. And today, can I declare to you the good news is that because Christ was extra, God did something extraordinary, something exceptional with His life. He gave you a past that is now forgiven. When you make a decision to follow Jesus, your past is forgiven. Not only that, but you have a purpose and a reason for living. And perhaps most importantly, you have a future and a home in heaven. Every head bowed and eye closed. I just want to ask you for a moment today with God. And I want to issue an invitation that's the best invitation you could ever receive. And simply that, to make Jesus your Lord, to make a decision to follow Him, to trust Him, to forgive your past. He's both Savior, heaven one day, and Lord, purpose for your life right now. And you're in this place for a reason, for a specific purpose. There's no accidents, nothing just happens with God. You're in this place right now, today, for this very moment. And I'd love to lead you in a moment of prayer. So I'm going to do a quick count to three. When I get to three, if you want to respond to Jesus, make Him Lord and Savior. Invite Him into your life. I'm going to ask you, when I get to three, just slip up your hand. I'll see you. Say thank you. I'm not going to do anything weird. I'm not going to call you out or anything. I'm just going to say thank you. And I'm going to pray for you. Ready on the count of three. Here we are. One, two, three. Hands up. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you at the back. That's awesome. Come, if you want to keep responding, the folks responding in this place and in this moment. Thank you. You can take your hands down. That's wonderful. Thank you at the back, ma'am. Thank you. Thank you. That's wonderful. Those of you responding in this moment, I want to offer you some words which you can just join with me in this moment in your heart. Father, we are grateful that You sent Jesus. We're thankful that His life showed us the ultimate way to live and His death ushered us into a permanent, lifelong, eternal friendship with You. We're thankful that the life of Jesus is our ultimate model for living. But the blood of Jesus is the ultimate sacrifice for our sin. And today in this moment, we want to say thank You. Firstly, that You loved us so much to do that. Secondly, Jesus, that You would go to the cross to pay for our sin, for our for the many, many times we've blown it. And in this moment, Jesus, these words are simple, but they're not simplistic. We want to invite you into our life. We want to make you Lord of our lives. Give up our own right to our own lives. Give up our own preferences. And we want to trust you as our Savior, that your blood was sufficient, your sacrifice was sufficient to purchase our freedom. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Hey, 8 o'clock, what a way to end the service. Can I ask you, would you go crazy for those who made a decision? Come on, give them a football cheer. Amen.
We hope you have been blessed and helped by this message. For more information about our church, visit our website at www.thrivechurch.co.za.